Today we're in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, starting in verse 17. And we're talking about the old life versus the new life. There is such a thing as the strife of the two natures. And I'm not making this up. If you look back at the diaries of great Christians through the centuries, people like the missionary David Brainerd, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, John Wesley, George Whitfield, St. Francis of Assisi, you look at the diaries, the writings of people like Martin Luther and John Calvin, Elizabeth Elliot, her martyred husband, Lottie Moon. You think, well, these people were so close to God, you know, they must not have had any problems. But it's exactly the opposite is true. They had real struggles, because when you get saved, if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things have become new, all right? And that would be wonderful if that's all we had to deal with, but the old nature is still there, and it's still kicking. And so here's the thing. If you walk in the Spirit, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you walk in the Spirit, you start to manifest in your life the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, self-control. However, if you walk in the flesh, and I know that it's possible for Christians to walk in the flesh, because 1 Corinthians is written to a bunch of Christians who were called saints, but they were still carnal and walked as men. All right. If you walk in the flesh, you're going to start manifesting the works of the flesh. All right. And this is true. We're talking about Kanye West. Baby Christians do not understand what it is to walk in the fullness of the Spirit. Of course, they're going to start cussing and skipping church. And it's what we used to call backsliding. Okay? And the reason I say that it's a thing is because the New Testament is full of verses that say, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. You've got so many passages where they say, put off the old man and put on the new man. If it weren't possible, why would we have all of these verses that say we need to do it? All right? If it weren't possible to quench the Holy Spirit, why are we told not to quench the Holy Spirit? Okay? Even the church in Thessalonica, they said, stop quenching the Spirit and stop despising prophesying. Okay? It doesn't make any sense. I'm talking to a guy at Southwestern Seminary, and he was one of these people. He said, either Christ is Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. Okay, and so there was no middle ground there. He didn't have a category of carnal Christian. Either you're totally filled with the Spirit, or you're lost. Okay, now there's a problem with that. Because the book of 1 Corinthians written to a bunch of people who don't exist. Okay? That's a problem. And if you got carnal Christians, I mean people who are saved genuinely, but they're walking in the flesh, you stand behind a pulpit and you tell them, I don't think you're saved, they won't be there next Sunday. And how are you going to work with them if they ain't there? Huh? Carnal Christians, they know they're saved. You say, well, I don't think you're saved. They're out of there. Okay, what does Paul do? He keeps working with those people in the great book of 2 Corinthians. These people finally had come around. You've got to know how to work with carnal Christians. Okay, and you can't work with carnal Christians by denying that they exist. That's not smart. Okay? Now, Paul is wanting these Ephesian believers to grow up in Christ. It's what we call progressive sanctification. He wants them to come along where they're manifesting the fruit of maturity and not falling back and manifesting the works of the flesh, okay? And so that's what we're dealing with. Number one, we need to put off the old man. It's like you've got some old piece of clothes that it's dirty and you put it off. You take it off, okay? He says, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord. Now, notice where Paul says, okay, this is what I'm telling you. And I'm testifying it in the Lord. What about that phrase, in the Lord? What do you make of that? Authority. He's nailing it. See, he's an apostle. And he's not pulling rank on him, but I'm testifying this in the Lord. Okay? He is giving a note of authority to what he's saying. He's just not writing a letter here. He's writing scripture. He says, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. All right? You know what they're doing? They're living like the Gentiles. Okay? Now, what are the Gentiles doing? Well, up in Europe, they're worshiping oak trees. Down in Egypt, they're worshiping bugs and cats. Okay? We're not going there, he said. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should stop walking as the rest of the Gentiles walk. And we're not talking about going for a walk. We're talking about living a lifestyle. In the emptiness of their thinking, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all kinds of uncleanness with greediness. You want to see this acted out? Turn on your television. All right? You got 300 channels, and you're going to see this on all 300. Yeah. Yeah. He's not after the Jews at this point, although Jews can walk in the flesh too. All right? So he says, all right, number one, their understanding is darkened. And this is something, it's an ongoing fact. Being alienated, estranged from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the callousness of their hearts. See, once you start sinning, it makes it easier to sin the next time. It makes it easier to sin the next time. And after a while, you get hardened to it. Okay? In another context, Paul talks about having their consciences seared with a hot iron. Okay? They've done it so many times, it becomes easy to do that. And it becomes hard to live for God, okay? It says, being past feeling, that's their heart, their inner person, has been sinning so much that their conscience is no longer convict them. And that's the way they're living. Being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness. Now, there is, I'm not just harping on California. I mean, you got a lot of people up in the mountains who live like this too. But they're not only sinning, they're proud of it. Okay? They're strutting it. They're proud of their sins. And so they're no longer ashamed of it. They're wanting to talk to the little children in the public libraries. And they're trying to bring the children into their lifestyles, you know, like here in Raleigh. Okay, now, Jesus said something about a millstone being tighter. He said, better for that person who causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it'd be better to have a donkey millstone tied around his neck and thrown into the sea. That's coming from the God of love. I mean, it is not, you teach a little child that God is irrelevant for life in the modern world, God's going to hold you accountable for that, okay? He said, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness to work out all kinds of immorality with greediness. And not only do they do this, they want everybody else to do it too. They say, I don't want you cramming your Christianity down my throat. But when they get the power, they're going to cram their lifestyle down your throat. You better believe it. Okay? It's like you sit down at a table and you got a bear and you got an eagle, and they say, now we're not allowed to use beaks and talons. Yeah. And the bear's gonna win. All right? We let the enemies of the cross define the terms and set the parameters for us. Yeah. Right. Right. Well, we're gonna let the fox guard the hen house. Well, you know what you're gonna have? You have a bunch of dead hens and a big fat fox. All right. Now there's another group called Trail Life, which is Christian Boy Scouts, which is now you got to watch them too. You got to be careful who you leave with the children, okay? But he says they work all kinds of uncleanness with greediness. And this is happening. This is happening in this country because they kicked God to the curb. They're all grown up now. They don't need God. God is a fairy tale for people, but we're all grown up now, okay? He said, verse 20, but that's not the way you learn Christ. You haven't learned Christ that way. If indeed you have heard him, and underline the word him, and have been taught by him, underline the words by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off. Now, this verb is in a form that means you need to do this. You need to resolve, you need to start, you need to do this. Concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Okay, so you've got understanding darkened, or you've got renewed in the spirit of your mind. Paul would say in Romans chapter 12, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is a God thing, all right? The Holy Spirit is the engine of your sanctification. You don't have to push the car. you've got this great, powerful engine, but if you quench the Spirit, you're not drawing from His power. Okay? Now, if you want to get out on 540 and you got this beautiful V12 engine and you're pushing it with your foot, people are going to say untoward things to you. And that's exactly what happens when you've got the new man and you're trying to steer it with the old power. Okay? You're going to have to draw from God's power. And the sooner you learn this, better off you're going to be. You cannot do the works of the Spirit in the flesh. Don't even try. Don't even go there. You can't do it. The one who walks in the flesh cannot please God. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Without Christ, you can do nothing. So, verse 24. We put off the old man, and verse 24, we put on the new man. And he says, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, that new man, John would tell us in 1 John, can't sin. Okay? But the old man can sin. Okay? So if you've got a sin in your life, you're not drawing from the new man, which is created by God to reflect His image. You're drawing from the old man, and you're supposed to count that old man to be crucified, and that's what baptism portrays. The old man is not taking a bath up there, and you don't get, when he comes out of the water, a squeaky clean old man. What happens to the old man? He's dead. When you come up out of the water, that's the new man, raised to walk in newness of life. It symbolizes it, all right? Francis of Assisi, I believe, was a true Christian. He said, I need to pray, but Brother Donkey doesn't want to. Now, Brother Donkey is his old nature, okay? It's like, you know you need to get up and go to church. I'm preaching to the choir here. But you want to go to Bedside Baptist and listen to the Reverend Pilla. You need to be standing on the promises, but you're sitting on the premises. All right? I need to be up and praying, but Brother Donkey doesn't want to get up. And everybody has the struggle. Everybody has a struggle. I wish there was an Olympic category for hitting a snooze button. Now, I am not a morning person. Can I have an amen? I am not a morning person. I could not hit the floor with my hat. But I can do a triple roll and come down exactly on the snooze button to get 10 minutes more of sleep. Now, I would have the gold, or at least the silver, if that was an Olympic category. And I don't see why not, because they're letting everything else. I mean, you know, Hello Kitty skateboards. I mean, everything. But anyway, it says that you put off the old man, and verse 22, and put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. It's not your righteousness, which Isaiah tells us are as filthy rags, but we're always told to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All right, it's Christ's righteousness imputed to us. And he says, you put on the new man, created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Holiness means set apart for God's good service. All right, now, point number three. Once you put on the new man and you put off the old man, that means your life is going to be characterized by certain things instead of other things. You know, it's like off with the bad, in with the good, okay? Now, he's going to say there are particular things that they need to avoid, and they need to replace these things with new things, all right? Now, it's not that God doesn't want you to have any fun. He just realizes that in order for the fruit of the Spirit to grow in your garden, you've got to weed the garden. You've got to make room for the good stuff by getting rid of the bad stuff, all right? So here he goes. Therefore, putting aside lying, okay, God doesn't like lying, even little white lies, all right? Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. That's Zechariah 8:16. For we are members of one another. Now, he's talking about in the church. We're members of one another. And that's emphasized. Don't lie to people in the church. Be angry and do not sin. Okay. Back up. Anger is a work of the flesh, okay? Some people have more of a problem with it than others. I understand that. Does this say that you can't be angry? No, it doesn't say that you can't be angry. What does it say? You can be angry, but do not sin. Now, who got angry in the temple? Jesus did. The Greek term was used, the snorting of horses. He was angry at what? He said, it is written, my house shall be a house of prayer for all peoples. You've turned it into a cave of robbers. And he made a whip, a cat of nine tails with the cords, and he cast them all out, and he turned the tables over on them. Righteous indignation is a real thing, but it's very difficult to do without sinning. All right? So he says, you could paraphrase this, you may be angry, but don't sin. And he says, neither let the sun go down on your wrath. See, if you're nursing a grudge from day to day to day, you got the Hatfields and the McCoys. Okay, some of you know what I'm talking about. You don't nurse grudges overnight. What you do is you make it right before the sun goes down. If you're angry, you need to bring it to the person, and you need to get that settled. Okay, if you nurse grudges, there are churches where half the church hadn't spoken to the other half in 20 years. And they've been mad at each other for so long, they can't even remember what it's about. The Hatfields and the McCoys were killing each other for four generations because somebody had a pig and wouldn't give it back. Okay? Give the pig back. Okay? It says, and what do? They make movies about it with Hollywood stars. He says, I'm not sure about Randall McCoy, but Devil Lance Hatfield got saved. He got baptized. Anyway, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. So that qualifies it. If you're going to be angry, make sure it's righteous indignation and not the work of the flesh. Okay? He says, neither give place to the devil. If you're nursing grudges and harboring ill will from day to day to day, you're giving the devil a foothold in your life. That's what I say. He says, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him work to exhaustion, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he might have something to give to him who has need. All right? So instead of stealing, what should you do? You should work and you should get money and give it to the one who has need. All right? This is seeking first the kingdom. All right? So notice how stealing, robbing from people, is replaced by helping people. Zacchaeus. How do you know he got saved? Well, if you give back four times, that means you had stolen from them. He's confessing that he's been robbing people. Now, he's a chief tax collector. Matthew's just a tax collector. Zacchaeus says, if I have wronged anybody, I restore to him fourfold. And Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house. It's not that he's saved by works. It's that his works show that he was saved. And Jesus is making a point, telling everybody. All right, he says, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands that which is good, that he may have something to give to the one who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Now that word is interesting, corrupt. Does anybody have something else? Foul language, yeah. What? Corrupt communication, all right. The word means rotten, and it is not just cussing. It's also you're running people down, you're slandering them, you're destroying their reputation. And it says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. The idea is the corrupt word, the rotten word, is tearing people down. But notice what he says. But rather, what is good for necessary edification, building up. See, we've got a ministry of the word. Okay? You can use your tongue to destroy, or you can use your tongue to build up. It's your choice. Now, I wrote a whole book on that once. As a biblical theology, there are all kinds of verses all through the Bible talking about the stewardship of the tongue. He says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, building up, that it might minister grace to the hearers. And stop grieving the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, I'm going to get off topic just a little bit right here. Some people believe you can lose your salvation. Jesus said, of those you have given me, I have lost none. All right? He said, no one is able to pluck them out of my hand. The Father who gave them to me is greater than all. No one is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now here, we're sealed by the Holy Spirit until you send the big one. Huh? No. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. When you got saved, God purchased you as His property, and you're sealed, you're protected, you're guarded by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit is the down payment, and God is going to make it right. All right? Is there any place here for losing your salvation? Tell it to the Free Will Baptists. And they want to argue about it. I said, don't argue with me. Argue with Jesus. He's the one that said it. Your beef is with Him. But if you would spend half the energy leading people to the Lord that you spend trying to prove that what Jesus said isn't true, you would be a powerful force for the kingdom. And they don't like to hear that. And they get in the flesh. I had a Jehovah's Witness one time. It got on the phone with me, and they wouldn't tell me where they were coming from, so that meant I knew. And I asked them something. I said, well, okay, is the Bible true? They said, yeah. I said, okay, is Genesis 1 true? Yeah. Is John 1 true? Yeah. I said, well, in Genesis 1, it says, in the beginning, who created the heaven and earth? They said, God. I said, that's right. I said, in John 1, it says, all things were made by him, and without him was nothing made that was made. Who's that talking about? They said, I don't know. I said, it's talk about Jesus. I said, do you think that's true? Yeah. I said, you just said Jesus was God. He said, no, he's not. I said, yes, you just said it. And he started cussing. And he started yelling at me. And he became very fleshly. And I said, well, that's what the scripture says. Have a nice day. And I hung up. And then he called Dr. Kellum, who talked to him for an hour before he finally hung up. See, this guy's not willing to be taught. He wants to teach, but he's not willing to be taught, okay? All he did with me, I didn't realize that one was going to work as well as it did. But it made the monkey come out. It sure did. So you could talk about the old man. You can dress him up, but you sure can't take him to town. He says, stop grieving the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath. Wrath means you're trying to get even with people, you know. Anger, clamor, and that means loud quarreling, and evil speaking. You want to see that, go to Facebook and look at somebody who posted something that was halfway holy and look at all the responses. You got them. They're all there, all right? He says, all this, let it be put away from you with all malice. Now, malice is ill will. You're wishing that somebody's going to stumble. You're hoping bad for them. And rather, he says, verse 32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, that means compassionate, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Okay, well, you don't know what he did to me. Well, whatever he did to you wasn't nearly as bad as what you did to Christ. Okay, if you allow Christ to forgive you and you refuse to forgive others, you're not praying, you're talking to the ceiling. Jesus says that in the Lord's Prayer. He says, if you do not from the heart forgive your brother his trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. How dare you accept Christ's grace and not extend that grace to another? Okay? He's trying to get these people to walk by the Spirit. But they're grieving the Spirit. They're quenching. Is it possible? Yeah, because he's telling them to quit. He already told Thessalonians to quit, stop quenching the Spirit. Now he's saying stop grieving the Spirit. Oh, by the way, the Jehovah's Witnesses say the Holy Spirit is just a physical force like electricity. If I stuck my fingers in that plug over there, would I grieve electricity? It would grieve me. How, if the Holy Spirit is not personal, can the Holy Spirit say, separate unto me Saul and Barnabas for the task to which I have called them? Electricity doesn't. Has electricity ever called you on a mission trip? Huh? These people think they know it all. They don't know Jesus. They say, oh, we believe in Jesus. No, you believe in an angel who's not the creator, and he's not the judge at the last day. And don't tell me you believe in Jesus. They've hijacked the word Jesus. All right, so what do we do with this? Number one, out with the bad. Put off the old man and all its works. Number two, put on a new man and walk in the Spirit, and you can expect to see being kind, being compassionate, forgiving one another, and remembering that Christ forgave you. Okay? And let me tell you, you can't do this in the flesh. The only way you can do this is to be confessed up, prayed up, step out in faith, and ask for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, help us to learn what it means to walk in the Spirit this week and to do the things that please you, honor Christ, and further your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.